The Big Back is brought to you by dogs.ie.
It's the Big Buck with the latest of the canines. The Big Buck, all the doggiest of headlines. With your hosts, Dara, Millie, Roxy and Bruno. They're the kind of dogs that you know.
It's time to talk about health, nutrition, training. Talk with canine professionals, owners and dogs.
It's the Big Buck, the Big Buck. All the canine stories for you.
Hello and a big welcome to the Big Bear Podcast. I'm your host, Dara Burke, and I'm joined, as always, by my canine co-hosts, Bruno, Millie and Roxy. Today is a nice short episode today. We're chatting all about, given the fact that we're into springtime now, we're chatting all about spring allergies and what to watch out for. And we're also touching a bit about Easter, because Easter Sunday is coming up. And don't forget, if you have doggies in the house and you have chocolate in the house, be sure to keep the doggies and the chocolate out of reach of each other, because we all know that dogs will always go for the chocolate and go for the Easter eggs and anything else that they can get their paws on. So we'll also talk a bit about, I suppose, in recent weeks we've seen a lot of cases of animal cruelty, and we're going to be focusing on this a good bit more going forward. Only there a few days ago we saw a post that went fairly viral online of a horse that was left on the roadside for dead, and we've been covering this a lot on our social media, and we'll be talking about this and, I suppose, other cruelty stories a lot more in the podcast moving forward, because as we go into our fifth season in the next couple of weeks, we will be refocusing the podcast a bit more. I'll be bringing you a full update on that next week, and our plans for the podcast will be revealed in full next week, including the new structure and our new volunteer-led initiative, where we will have different correspondents around Ireland who will be providing up-to-date news from your region for all about dogs, of course. So we'll be keeping everything doggy-themed, and we will be ensuring that you're first in the know with all the doggy news. Now, like I said, we have a very short episode today. It's only really to cover, I suppose, we're going into springtime now, or we're into springtime and heading towards the summer. Now, I know looking out the window, you wouldn't think it's looking up, because it's been rain. But you're already starting to see the likes of ticks and fleas and every other kind of buggy crap around as well. So we are starting to see these things just floating around, and even things like ear mites, dust mites, just things to watch out for. So we are chatting today with Dr. Ashley Bugler from Treaty Vets on this. And Ashley will also be chatting a small bit about the dangers of Easter, because we have our Easter Sunday coming up, and we have, like I said, all that chocolate floating about. You have your things like roast and sage and onion and all that kind of stuff as well. So I'm going to actually talk to you a small bit about that. As I said, next week, or probably not next week, the week after, I would imagine, the way we're trying to get everything organised. But we are reorganising the podcast into it'll be a volunteer-led initiative going forward, including myself, and any sponsor funds that are raised from the likes of our partners here at dogs.ie and from the likes of Mutt-Mitts Ireland, for example. We will be looking at, I suppose, we'll be looking at all of the different ways that, like, these funds can be used to help build a podcast and go back to animal welfare as well in the long run. So we'll be looking at all the things like that, and we'll be keeping you updated through our socials on that. And before we, I suppose, dive in into the main session, which is with Dr. Ashley Bugler today, we're going to have a quick word from one of our sponsors now, which is dogs.ie. We found our dog Roxy on dogs.ie, and when the people from dogs.ie learned about that, they asked me to share my experience. Using dogs.ie is so straightforward. We were able to navigate the site and filter by our chosen breed, which for us was always going to be a Golden Labrador. We knew we wanted a Gaul, and we were able to find a wonderful breeder in Tipperary who we still stay in contact with and share regular updates about Roxy. And they always look forward to these updates. We found a breeder so helpful and pleasant to deal with, and we spent over 3 hours in Tipperary playing with Roxy and the other puppies. And we knew from meeting Roxy's parents and the breeder and her family that these dogs were so well looked after. Roxy was quite nervous on her journey home, but Jen and I made it super relaxing, and she curled up in Jen's lap all the way home. She slept soundly that night in her bed that we had got for her, and I even took the next day off to get a head start on the training. Everything on Dogs.ie is super safe. They offer so many tips for prospective new owners, and they really have the dog's welfare at heart. We also checked out a helpful ebook, which I highly recommend, and you can find at dogs.ie/book. Along with the contract template, which Dogs.ie provide, it's super helpful in knowing the legal stuff you need to be aware of, and you can find that on dogs.ie/contract. Dogs.ie have just launched a new puppy pack, and more info can be found on dogs.ie/gifts. And yes, as I said, we did get Roxy on Dogs.ie, and I know like some people have kind of given me a bit of slack over time for that, because we went to a breeder and not to a rescue. We have our reasons for that, and like, look, I always would encourage to go to a rescue first and to try and get a rescue dog where you can, but unfortunately it is not always as simple as that. For us, it was a case that we would have had to make lots of security improvements around our front lawn, our back lawn, including a new wall, and just wasn't viable for us to do so. So, like, Roxy's an indoor dog, and Roxy, actually, speaking of Roxy, she's given a lot of peace now in the last couple of weeks to Bruno and Millie, because she has started going to doggy daycare. And a big shout out, actually, to Urban Tales Doggy Daycare in Limerick here. Roxy has been going to Urban Tales for the last couple of weeks now, and we're sending her in twice, three times a week, some weeks, and she is absolutely loving it. And the best thing of all, she is coming home. When she comes out there in the evenings, she is absolutely knackered, like completely and utterly wrecked. And it makes our life so much easier in the evening as well, because she gets to play with all these doggies during the day. She's not wrecking our heads in the evening. She's not wrecking Bruno and Millie's heads in the evening. She's nice and tired, and she's sleeping the whole night. And we're making sure that way then, like, we're getting a bit of peace. She's happy out. And Bruno and Millie are happy out too. So, it's a win-win-win for everybody. And I have to say, the guys in Urban Tales have been absolutely brilliant. Like, when she goes in the mornings, it's like, she doesn't even want to say bye to me. She's gone. She's literally just gone in. And it's like, play, 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 play. She just wants to go out and play with all the doggies. And I put videos up as well during the day to show us, like, how she's getting on their Instagram. If anyone is after getting a new puppy, I would highly recommend that, even if it's not Urban Tales, if you have a doggy daycare facility in your area, that you definitely utilize it. If you're trying to get your dog socialized, especially, or if you're trying to wear them the absolute hell out so that you have a bit of peace in the evenings, would really, really recommend it, because it's done wonders for us. And, like, look, she's happy out, so keeps us happy. And anyway, back to the main topic, which is springtime, and we will be chatting now in a moment just there to Dr. Ashley Bugler from Treaty Vets here in Limerick. And yeah, so it's all about springtime and the upcoming Easter eggs hunt and Easter eggs and all that kind of stuff as well.
Do you have a pet in need of a vet, or do you need some health advice for your four-legged friend? Whether it's for a regular checkup, microchipping, vaccinations, or critical urgent care, you can rest assured knowing that your pet is in loving hands at Treaty Veterinary Clinic Limerick and Shannon. Providing care for your pet since 1986, at Treaty Vets, your pet is our priority. Call our 24-hour number 061-328-511 or make an appointment through our website www.treatyveterinaryclinic.com, or find us on Facebook or Instagram, Treaty Veterinary Clinic. proud sponsors of the Health Hub on the Big Bark.
Okay, and joining me now is Dr. Ashley Bugler from Treaty Vets in Limerick today on our Health Hub. Ashley, a big welcome back to the Big Bark.
Thanks so much, Darragh. It's great to be back on again.
So, okay, you probably heard earlier on in our show we were talking a bit about animal welfare. So I'm going to touch on that with you kind of towards the end of this year. But our main topic today is it's springtime and you can really see the spring has arrived. Start to see a few things on, like flowers on bushes and stuff again. And my own bushes are finally starting to grow back after being cut back last year so much. And you're starting to see like grass growing, people are cutting grass and all again. And obviously with the grass growing, this like kind of has other effects there for our little furry friends. And with springtime arriving, it brings a lot of like things like fleas and ticks and worms. And that will be going on the whole way out throughout the summer. So that's what we're talking about here today. So Ashley, I'm going to let you like just tell me, I suppose, what are the big things to watch out for in springtime?
Cool. So I suppose, as I was saying to Dara there before we started recording, the biggest thing I'm kind of finding in clinic is that people are really confused when it comes to fleas, ticks, mites, worms, all those things. And basically how to keep it simple and how to prevent their animals getting these infections and these infestations. So I'm going to try and break it down in the most simplest terms I can, how to kind of protect your animal, how to protect your dogs, how to keep it simple and what you need to do. We'll focus on that mainly, and then I suppose as we're all starting to kind of come out of our shells a bit now. The weather's getting warmer. We're all going on our adventures with our dogs, so I'll just touch on little things to remember when you're going on your adventures. What you need to remember, things in the garden to remember, and then a little bit about just Easter and the usual stuff there. So, I'm going to try and make this as simple as possible. So, if there's anywhere that's unclear, Dara, just stop me, but I'll summarise at the end anyway. So. The first thing is worms, right? So worming treatments will deworm your dog, but they don't have any lasting effect. So it's generally accepted that it is sufficient to worm adult dogs every 12 weeks. But that will allow a worm burden to build up because there's no protection from worms. When you worm your dog, you worm your dog, the worms are removed, but they can build back up. So when they're on their walks, they pick them up from the ground basically, or from anything that they might eat or ingest. Now, worming your dog every 12 weeks is generally safe for the dog and for the adult owners who participate good hand hygiene. But in homes where you have young children, older adults, or someone maybe with an underlying health condition, those dogs should be wormed every 4 weeks throughout the year. So that's very important if you have young kids then the dog and the kids are rolling around the ground together, because worms can be passed from the dog to humans. So if you have any of those conditions, I would worm the dog with a worming tablet every 4 weeks. If the dog lives in an adult only home where everyone is very fit and healthy and, you know, there's generally good hygiene, then once every 12 weeks is fine. Also, if you live in an area where there's cases of lungworm, we don't see much of it around here in Limerick, but there are parts of the country where there is a lungworm being seen, then monthly worming will prevent this. Okay, so really important, if you do live in a lungworm area, worm your dog monthly. So that's worming, either once every 4 weeks or once every 12 weeks, a worming tablet. Then we're down to the parasites that live on the skin. So we have fleas, ticks and mites in most basic terms, and they are ectoparasites. They live on the skin. So these would seem to be more prevalent in the spring and the summer. But I suppose due to central heating now and everyone has nice warm homes, we're seeing, and obviously more animals are living in the homes nowadays, thank God. So we are seeing more ectoparasites on the skin all year round because the central heating is kind of, they don't really have that seasonality. So I suppose the prevention is key with these bugs. So if your dog gets fleas, it can take at least 12 weeks to clear them from the pet and from the home. So most of the fleas live off the pet in the environment and they just hop on and off the pet. And they can also hop onto any nearby human that's nearby to feed. So there are a plethora of preventative products for these parasites, especially fleas. There's many over-the-counter ones that you can buy in pet shops and even supermarkets. And there's a lot of different products and collars and things that I've seen on Amazon. But I would just be a little bit careful because I have seen animals get burns from some of these products, particularly the ones bought online, if they're not from a reputable vendor. So just be very careful about where you're getting these products from. Are they from, you know, a reputable supplier? Anything that's not prescription is unlikely to cover for mites and possibly even ticks. It probably will just cover for fleas and it'll probably only cover for 4 weeks. So that's fleas. If you want to protect your pet from mites and ticks, and then as well, and fleas as well, you're better off getting a prescription product from your vet. So if a vet is going to supply treatment to your vet, to your pet, they will have, they need to see the animal. It's a prescription product. So they'll have seen your pet, your dog, they'll have weighed them, they've seen them before, they've been in the clinic. They know your, you know, what is suitable for your animal, and you can have a chat about your dog's lifestyle, who's in your home, and whether what needs to be done. So I would always advise, obviously, to get prescription medication for these parasites from your vet, because if you're going to do it, you may as well do it properly. So again, you have products that, the difference between the outside parasites and the inside parasites is that the treatments that treat for fleas, ticks and mites, they do have a lasting effect, but they will protect your pet from getting these bugs once the treatment is in the system. So you have products that either last for 4 weeks or for 12 weeks. So if you pick a product that has a 4 week duration, it will protect your pet from getting these bugs for 4 weeks, or you can get a 12 week one, which will protect the animals from getting these bugs for the 3 month period that the treatment is on them. Now, you can get a treatment that is a spot-on treatment, a topical treatment that goes on the skin on the back of the neck, or you can get an oral product. For kind of environmental and for efficacy reasons, we do try to advocate for giving oral products. They're just better for the environment, better for the animal. But if some dogs are super, super tablet savvy and there's no way you could possibly tablet them, then there is spot-on treatments available too. So for either a 4 week or a 12 week. So coming into springtime, this is a really good time to get diligent with your parasite protection. As I said, we do see fleas all year round, but ticks are more of a spring-summer problem. And in the warmer weather, they do come out, and in the long grass, they'll attach to your dog's coat, and they can easily go unnoticed hiding in the coat. So many times we find ticks on dogs when they've come in for something else, because they're really hard to find and you just find them by accident. So I suppose, just a recap, try your best to use prescription products for your dog, and if you're going to get them in another location, just be confident that it's a reputable supplier. You know, your local vet knows your dog, has met them before, and you can have a discussion about what they need. So use a worming tablet every 4 weeks or every 12 weeks, depending on your household, and use a flea, tick and mite prevention, either a spot on or a tablet, every 4 weeks or every 12 weeks, depending on the product. Some will last 4 weeks, some will last 12 weeks. They will protect your pet from those bugs while the solution is in their system, either 4 weeks or 12 weeks. Unfortunately, there is no wonder product. There is no product that will cover for everything. There is some crossover between them. Some products will cover roundworms in two different ways. But the most of the parasite treatments that you have to give a worming tablet to cover tapeworm. And tapeworm is involved in the life cycle of the flea. So it is really important that we are covering for worms as well as our outside parasites. So is that clear, Darren? Can you understand all that? Is that kind of, have I made that clear about kind of worming and fleeing and all that stuff?
You have indeed. And I suppose like these will be a lot more persistent now, I suppose, during the spring, the summer and the autumn months.
Yeah, definitely. This is the time to get really diligent with it, because I've seen people come in, you know, they're with a cat or a dog that's got fleas, and you know, it's really annoying. You know, they're really hard to get rid of. They're, especially now, like if you've a little dog and it's up in your children's bed and they're playing with, you know, they're in the kids' rooms, there'll be fleas everywhere. They'll be in the rug, they'll be in the bedding, they'll be in the kids' clothes, they'll be in your clothes. You might even get bites on your skin. I just think prevention is better, so much better than cure in these cases, because you know, you end up having to buy a spray for your house then, because as I said, a lot of them live off the pet. They're in the house, they're in the skirting boards and the couches. It can be a big old job to get rid of them. And they're easy transmitted from pet to pet. So you can even bring them in. You can have, like, I've seen cats that are purely indoor cats get fleas, and the only way they could have got them is from the owner bringing them in on their person. So these fleas are really resilient. They've been around a long time, and they'll be around for a long time more. So we need to protect our pets from them, and you really don't want to get them in your house.
Absolutely. And just to come back to a small bit you mentioned about the household products, and I've seen some in your clinic outside in Tree Vets, and I've actually used them myself before. I kind of often do it just even once every 6 months, just to fumigate the whole house.
Yeah, it's a good thing to do. And yeah.
So What kind of products are there out there? There's mist ones, there's sprays, and there's flea bombs, I believe, as well, is another one. So what kind of products would you recommend that?
So we just have one here. It's a spray. We try and keep things simple if we can. So it's a tall can spray. kind of called flea off spray. It basically, it kills fleas and it freezes the eggs, so the eggs won't hatch. So you, an average tin will do it. The size of our, the tins we have will do an average 3-bed house. So an average household, one tin will do you. And that actually lasts in your house for a year. And so even just doing it once a year would probably suffice. And it's also really, really good. It actually kills mites as well. And even it dampens down any dust mites or house mites in the house. So if you've got a pet with allergies, it's a really good thing to do, because a lot of pets with allergies actually have allergies to house mites. And we'll never be able to get rid of all house mites. We all have house mites and we all have dust mites. That's just part of life. But these sprays, as well as killing the fleas, they actually also really help to kill and kind of keep house mites and dust mites a bit at bay for a while as well. So they're a really good thing to use for pets with allergies too, as a side note.
All right. And I suppose on the second topic then, we're coming into Easter now in a couple of days. So chocolate season number two, as I like to call it.
Yeah, here we go again.
At this stage, it's probably chocolate season number, 15 or so, like with Valentine's Day and Paddy's Day and everything else out there now. So
every day is chocolate season in my house. So I have chocolate every day.
So, talk to me about what you need to be careful of around Easter, because not only that, you often have like people who will do a roast on Easter Sunday, like Christmas. So talk to me about what you need to be vigilant of in the household for around Easter time with your dogs.
Yeah, so same as Christmas, really. So chocolate toxicity, we all know now, every dog owner knows that the dog shouldn't eat chocolate. And we know that because they ring us straight away when it happens. So it's not the knowledge, it's the prevention of the thing is the key. So obviously Easter time, we do a lot of egg hunts. People hide eggs in their garden for kids to find. There's chocolate everywhere at Easter. I think it might even be worse than Christmas because we're hiding this chocolate in places. And your dog will find it. He will sniff it out. If there's chocolate to be found, your dog will find it. So if you're doing egg hunts in the garden, I mean, it's just, you know, trying to count the eggs before you start putting them out and then count them back in at the end that every egg has been found. You know, that's kind of the basics of it, really, you know, taking every step you can to prevent your dog getting hold of chocolate. Now, obviously, chocolate is dose dependent. So if you're using milk chocolate or white chocolate and you have a large Labrador or bigger, you know, a small bit isn't going to harm them. It's really dose dependent. So if you have small dogs and a lot of chocolate or dark chocolate, but I just think, it's, you know, trying to be specific about it is hard. I think it's safer just to have a hard and fast rule that we're going to do, you know, we're going to prevent our dog getting into the chocolate. So if you're doing a hunt, put the dog in the house while the hunt is going on and count the eggs in and out. Then Easter sweets, there's a lot. Easter now is all sorts of things. It's jellies and sweets and boiled sweets and all sorts of things. So just a lot of them contain xylitol, which is a toxic sweetener for dogs. So again, sweets, anything sweety like that, hide them away. Easter Sunday, the dinner, it's just key for fatty foods, really. I just, pancreatitis and gastritis, you know, we just see so many cases of it the week after Easter. Dogs getting hold of bits of fatty bits of meat, and like lamb is quite a fatty meat, or even people have goose and things, they're really fatty. They get into the bin, they get into the oil, the goose fat that comes off them and all that kind of thing. And that just causes really bad gastritis and pancreatitis, diarrhea and vomiting. Then things like hot cross buns. So raisins are toxic, dried fruit is toxic to dogs. Don't let your dog eat hot cross buns or scones or kind of Easter cake, something like that. A lot of people like to have lilies in the house at Easter. Lilies are highly toxic, especially to cats really, but to dogs too. We'll talk about... I suppose we might talk about just gardening as well in a sec. A lot of people now are keeping, you know, are having Easter baskets or Easter hampers. I've seen a bit of that around, and a lot of them have fake grass or fake hay in the hampers. So just be very careful of that, because dogs like to chew on this, and if they swallow it, it could definitely cause a blockage. And that's something about little eggs. If a dog swallows an egg whole, that could definitely cause a blockage. Or any Easter decorations like fake eggs, they might think that's something tasty to play with or something fun to play with. Fake eggs, you know, or fake decorations, any kind of decorations are obviously an obstruction risk. And then I suppose this time of year, everyone is kind of starting to go out and about, and everyone's starting to kind of go back on their adventures and go for more walks and hikes and things. So just a few little bits to remember as we're starting to go out and about in the world. Please make sure your dog is up to date with all vaccinations, you know, parvo, lepto, distemper, canine cough or kennel cough, that's rife at the moment. So making sure your dog has their booster vaccinations and their kennel cough vaccinations up to date before you go out and about. You know, we're all going back out doing more walking and stuff. So make sure you have a collar with a tag attached with your mobile number on the collar. And if you've moved recently, you know, in the last 12 months or 2 years, double check that the microchip details are up to date, because it might be when you're moving house, it's really stressful. And the one thing you might forget about is getting that microchip changed. That's really important. It's so devastating when a lost dog comes in and we scan the chip and we can't get hold of the owner. They've gone to the trouble of chipping the dog, and but the details aren't up to date and we can't find the owner. It's really sad. So if you're walking in the countryside, particularly, just be very careful, you know, cautious when you're walking through fields. It's springtime. Springtime means baby lambs and baby calves running around. And cows in particular can be very protective over their young. So be very careful around livestock. As you know, we were saying about parasites and things and ticks and things, and dogs with long hair, it gets warmer. A kind of a spring groom is a good idea for dogs with a thick coat or long coat, but owners of these dogs know that anyway. Make sure the nails get clipped regularly. Just to be careful of, obviously, bees and wasps are back again. They're starting to come out. So some dogs are really allergic to bee stings and wasp stings. So, you know, if your dog does get stung by a bee, or some dogs love to chase bees and love to chase wasps and try to catch them in their mouths. So that kind of thing should be tried to try and prevent that happening, because I've seen it before, dogs catching a wasp or a bee in their mouth and they get stung in the mouth and sets off a big swelling in the mouth, and it's really, really painful. So watch out for any swelling or hives or any rashes on the body. Then I suppose if you're out in the garden more, you know, you need to watch out for plants that are poisonous to dogs. Dogs love to run off with the bulbs. You know, bulbs are actually really toxic. Sometimes the plant will be okay, but the bulbs have a higher concentration of the nutrients in the leaves of the flowers, so they can be even more dangerous for your pet. So when you're gardening, keep your pet away from any bulbs or flowers. Things like azaleas, lilies, geraniums, even daffodils can be, you know, if they eat enough daffodils, or if they were to eat daffodil bulbs, they'd be very sick. And as well as the bulbs cause, you know, very likely to cause a blockage as well. So just keep an eye on your dog if you're gardening. They might not be the most helpful hand. And then I suppose just out in the garden again, varnishing, painting, weed killers, all that stuff, dogs drinking that kind of thing, really, really dangerous. Keep them inside if you're using weed killers, particularly. I mean, Roundup is highly, highly toxic. It's really bad for the environment, but it's definitely really bad for your pet. If you're cleaning patios with harsh bleaches or anything, keep them away from that. That's very toxic and caustic. It'll burn their esophagus. Painting and varnishing, keep curious doggies out of the way until that's all dried up and all the buckets of paint are back in the garage. Anyone with a dog that's itchy, you know, with chronic environmental allergies will know all this, but they tend to flare up in spring. So if you have a young dog and they're starting to lick their feet this time of year, bring them in. We'll have a little look at them and discuss it with you. But, you know, if you're an owner of a dog that does tend to have environmental allergies every year, if they're licking their feet, really important every time they come back inside after being outside to wash the feet. So even just get a cloth with some warm water on it and wipe the feet down. You'll help to remove the pollens and other allergens that land on the feet. And then to shampoo the feet every 2 to 3 days, give them a good wash, or the whole body if it tends to be their whole body that's infected. But generally, this time of year, as we're coming into spring and summer, we do definitely see more itchy dogs. So if you haven't had that kind of diagnosed, come in and speak to your vet. And then I suppose we're just starting to see temperatures starting to rise now. So the usual advice about leaving dogs in cars, be really careful. I just, as a rule again, would say do not leave dogs in cars. People are really, you know, vigilant for this now. And if someone sees a dog left in a car, they get very upset. So I think it's better just to avoid that from happening. Try and avoid it at all costs. So I suppose that's the whistle stop tour of things to look out for this time of year. If there's any questions, Dara, I'm happy to answer any.
No, that's good. I suppose, listen to you there. Happened to Millie before that she, Millie is one that loves chasing wasps. Like, she doesn't do much chase anymore, but she got stung by one a few years ago, and her whole mouth got all swollen up and kind of caught as well. So
it's really sore.
It is, and really irritating as well. She was trying to scratch it non-stop and scratching off everything as well. So
it can be really dangerous if the dog is actually allergic to the sting. You know, they can get their throat can start swelling up and things. So you know, really important to keep an eye on that as well. So just again, prevention is better than cure, but it's easier said than done.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And we'll leave it at that for now. Dr. Ashley Bugler from Tree Veterinary Clinic in Limerick and Shannon, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Sarah. Talk to you soon.
Do you have a pet in need of a vet, or do you need some health advice for your four-legged friend? Whether it's for a regular checkup, microchipping, vaccinations, or critical urgent care, you can rest assured knowing that your pet is in loving hands at Treaty Veterinary Clinic Limerick and Shannon. Providing care for your pet since 1986, at Treaty Vets, your pet is our priority. Call our 24-hour number 061 328 511 or make an appointment through our website www.treatyveterinaryclinic.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram, Treaty Veterinary Clinic. Proud sponsors of the Health Hub on the Big Bark.
All right, and a big thanks again to Dr. Asha Bugler there for talking to us all about springtime and about minding your doggies around all the Easter stuff. Don't really have much else to chat about today. We have one more of our awesome sponsors that we do need to have a word of. And given the fact that this month is Scoop to Poop month, it's actually an appropriate one because we will be chatting in next week's episode, not next week, 2 weeks' time probably, to Kieran Sheehan from Mutmits Ireland, all about the responsibilities that you have as a dog owner for scooping up after your doggy and cleaning up your dog's mess, whether it be on the street or whether it be on in a field or wherever it is, even in your own front lawn, why you should be cleaning that up, the different reasons, and I suppose if you don't clean it up, how it can actually make its way into the water supply as well, so the dangers of that. We'll be trying to carry on, and we'll also be trying to him about the, I suppose, why more councils around Ireland should be taking the responsibility to be providing bags for your dogs as well, and what he's going to be doing to encourage people to clean up after your dog during Scoop to Poop month. So, a little word from our other sponsor, which is Mutmits Ireland.
Are you tired of using low-quality bags to pick up after your dog? Do you get dog poop all over your hand when cleaning up their mess? What you need is a Mutmit, a strong two-ply bag that makes it super-duper easy and hygienic to pick up your dog's waste. Check it out on MutmitsIreland.ie. Mutmits, better than a bag. Proud sponsor of the Big Bark podcast.
All right, and as I said, there's not much else to really chat about today. Short's a nice and quiet one, really. A nice short one compared to the usual waffle that I go on with for about three quarters of an hour. And some people are kind of like, oh God, would this guy ever shut up? Next week, we will be chatting to you all about the different, I suppose, the different features that are going to be coming up on our show. We're going to be giving you a full rundown of what will be happening, changes-wise, and be introducing you, hopefully, to some of our new team that we will have throughout the country. And, well, that's pretty much it. I'll be talking about like the different, I suppose, features, the different topics that we'll be covering, including our new animal welfare segment, and what changes we'll be making on the social media side of things too, including a way for you to submit all your silly doggies into us to have them featured on our social media, on our TikTok and on our Instagram, because TikTok is going to become a fairly big part of it, because I just need to start using that and start getting videos to go a bit more viral, I suppose. But that's pretty much all. And thank you for joining me today. And I will chat to you all again next week. And a happy Easter to you.
It's the Big Bark with the latest of the canines. The Big Bark, all the doggiest headlines. With your host, Dara, Lily, Roxy and Bruno. They're the kind of dogs that you know.
It's time to talk about health, nutrition, training. Talk with canine professionals, owners and dogs.
It's the Big Bark, the Big Bark.